Good evening. Good to see everybody back with us tonight. Hope you had a wonderful afternoon today. Let's open our Bibles to James chapter 5 for just a moment. And I want you to keep your Bibles out this evening because we're going to be looking at several passages of Scripture that have to do with prayer and thinking about attitudes that we must have when we pray. Prayer is something that the Christian is going to do because he loves God. And because he loves Jesus, we will engage in prayer for many different reasons. We may engage in prayer for our own benefit, for our own sake, asking God for help with particularly difficult times of our life. We may engage in prayer to go to God on behalf of someone else and pray for them. We may engage in prayer simply to be thankful for the wonderful blessings that we have in God and in Christ Jesus. And there are many reasons the Christian would engage in prayer. But how ought we to get engage in prayer? What should our attitude be when we pray? The Bible certainly has a lot to say about the topic of prayer. And let's look at a few things this evening. In James chapter 5, starting in verse 16, James writes these words, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. James makes a very compelling statement in verse 16. He says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." What does that statement mean? It means that when someone who is on God's side is praying, great things happen. Great things take place. He uses the example of Elijah, a man whom no one could question whether or not he was righteous. He was a righteous man. And he prayed that it not rain. And it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed that it would rain. And then the rain fell again. Now, we're not going to be able to have the kind of miraculous response that Elijah had in regard to his prayers, but nevertheless, our prayers can still be effective and fervent based upon righteousness in Jesus Christ as we utter those prayers today. When a righteous person utters prayer, God hears that prayer. He listens to that prayer intently, and he takes it very seriously, and God answers prayer. But sometimes, because of different difficulties with our life or problems or sins that we might have that are lurking beneath the surface, we have a difficult attitude in praying. And that's why we have to remember that when we pray, that prayer needs to be accompanied with a certain attitude. To have the right attitude in prayer, we must first of all ask in faith. Secondly, to have the right attitude in prayer, we must be thankful. And finally, to have the right attitude in prayer, we must be constant. And so those three things are topics about prayer that I would like for us to look at tonight from the Scripture. First of all, to have the right attitude in prayer, we must have faith. The Bible teaches that those who are doubtful in their praying do not receive God's blessings. And what do I mean by doubtful? Well, one man prayed like this, "God, if there is a God, forgive my sins, if I have any sins." That's a doubtful prayer. That is not a prayer of faith. That is a prayer of grasping at straws. And it really has nothing to do with the kind of praying that the Bible talks about. Think about the lesson of the fig tree that Jesus showed to His disciples in Matthew 21 and in Mark 11. Jesus, while entering into the city of Jerusalem, noticed that there was a fig tree there. And He went to go get some figs, and it didn't have any figs on it. And then He cursed that fig tree. The next day, as the disciples were entering again into Jerusalem, they saw that that fig tree had withered and died. And Jesus' point was this, as He says in Matthew 21 and verse 22. He says, "In all things, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." We need to believe that God is going to answer our prayers. We need to have faith in God that He can do the things that we're praying for Him to do. In Mark 11 and verse 24, Jesus says this, "What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, and you will have them." Peter is also a good example of what it means to doubt while we are trusting in Jesus. Look in Matthew chapter 14 and verses 25 through 32. Matthew 14, verses 25 through 32. And you may remember the story of Peter walking on the water. And this is that story. And so starting in verse 25, we read, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.' Peter answered Him and said, 'Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water.' So He said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" You know, I think sometimes we're a lot like Peter. We get to seeing the problems that are around us and focusing on those problems. We get to see the people who are around us who are a potential problem situations and focusing upon those things. And we forget to focus upon Jesus as we're walking through this life. And when we start focusing on the wrong things, like Peter did when he began to focus on the winds and the waves and the boisterousness of that, we begin to have fear within our life also. And that fear impacts our ability to pray. It impacts our ability to utter that effectual, fervent prayer that God wants us to utter. But when we turn our eyes back to Jesus, like Peter did, God can powerfully help us in the things that we have to go through in life. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8, Paul wrote there to Timothy, who was to then impart this instruction to the churches that he was working with. He said, "I would that in every place men lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Notice, without doubting. We don't feebly lift up our hands, metaphorically speaking, to ask timidly of God that He would help us and then wonder whether or not it's going to happen. That is not the right attitude in prayer. Instead, as the Hebrew writer says, we boldly come before the throne of grace to petition God, knowing that those prayers are effectual and fervent. James says in James chapter 1 and verses 5 through 7, "But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's not the kind of person we want to be, but rather we want to pray in faith. To have the right attitude in prayer, we must ask in faith. But secondly, to have the right attitude in prayer, we must be thankful. Thankfulness is our recognition that there is something outside ourself that is working for our benefit. When we are thankful to another person, we're saying to them, "You have aided me, you have helped me, you have provided for me in some way." And I'm acknowledging that by saying, "Thank you." Of course, to be thankful to God recognizes that God provides so many things for us. And He does in so many wonderful ways. I have a renewed appreciation for the wind sometimes when I'm out running on the trail and it's hot and I'm starting to sweat and I'm getting warm. And then a big breeze comes my way and it cools me down as I'm running on the trail. Oh, I'm so thankful for that breeze. And it's God who provides that. It doesn't come from me. And so we need to be thankful when we pray. Remember the thankful Samaritan in Luke 17 in verses 16 through 18. Luke 17 in verses 16 through 18. Jesus in this situation finds some people who need some help. And notice what the text says here in verse, let's start back in verse 11. "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. They, lifting up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourself to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Jesus took notice of the fact that this one Samaritan returned to give thanks for the healing that he received. And Jesus wondered, where were the other 9? Why didn't they turn back and give thanks? You know, a lot of times we can fall into an attitude of expectation. Sometimes this is called a sort of mentality of expecting things to be done for us, you know. And when we get like that, the first thing that goes is thankfulness. We get one thing, and then we get another thing, and then we get another, and before you know it, we're just expecting those things to come our way. And if it doesn't happen, then we get upset. Well, instead of being like that, we need to recognize that everything that happens, that comes our way, as a matter of blessing, is a gift. And we need to be thankful for each and every one of those things. Not having an attitude of simply expecting things, but rather an attitude of thanksgiving, understanding that things that come our way are given to us. Thankfulness should characterize our very being. Paul writes in Colossians 3 and verse 15, "You be thankful." Be thankful at every moment. In Colossians 3 and verse 17, it says that we should give thanks to God the Father through Him. Thankfulness should accompany our requests to God. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Thankfulness is considered part of praising God. In Hebrews 13 and verse 15 we read, "By Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Prayer must be accompanied with the attitude of thankfulness. And so when we pray, let's pray being thankful. But then finally this evening, when we pray, we must pray with constancy. Those who are not constant in prayer fail to recognize their true dependence upon God. What if you had someone, for example, who said, "God, I could really use some help right now." And then 5 seconds later says, "Well, it didn't happen. I guess I'll just give up and go on." That is not the kind of attitude that we should have in prayer. The idea of giving up and letting go when things don't happen immediately or things don't happen according to the way we want them to happen. Constancy in prayer means continuing on, even when it looks like what we're praying for isn't going to be given to us. Or maybe it isn't going to be given to us in the way that we think it's going to be given to us. Or maybe God has something else in mind, and that we can't grow in the way that we're asking, but that God understands what we're seeking and will provide it in some other way outside of our request. Remember the parable of the unjust judge in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 and following? Listen to what Jesus says here. "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while. But afterward he said with himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming to me, she weary me.' Then the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, although he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" What is Jesus trying to tell us about God in this parable? He's trying to say this: if a widow woman, through persistence, can so irritate a judge, an unrighteous judge for that matter, to grant her request, then how much more so is a loving and generous God going to grant the request of one who asks of Him? Oh yes, God is so much greater than this unjust judge. And if He does it simply to be rid of the annoyance, how much more will God grant, who loves us and cares about us and wants us to have good things? This is why the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." Prayer is something that we must be constant in, that we must continue in, that we must not give up on. We ought always to pray and not lose hope, as Jesus said, or not lose heart, as Jesus said. Prayer is also an attribute of love. Do you give up on those whom you love. Think about your children and how much you love them. Do you give up on them? Do you say, well, there's nothing more I can do with you. I'm done with you. And just throw them away like you would throw an old paper bag away or old plastic bag away or something like that? I hope not. I hope that you wouldn't give up on them. I hope that you would continue to strive to help them if they needed help. Love doesn't give up. And if we love God, we're not going to give up on God. In Romans 12 and verse 12, we read that love rejoices in hope, is patient in tribulation, and continues instant in prayer. And so we need to have love for God, the kind of love that doesn't give up. Prayer is an attribute of love, and the constancy in that prayer is an attribute of love as well. And constancy is also part of taking up the whole armor of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul lists all of those pieces of armor. The helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit. But at the end of that list, he gives a weapon that cannot be described in a physical way. He says in Ephesians 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now that's constancy in prayer. That's an attitude that says, I'm not giving up. That's an attitude that says, I'm going to keep on praying regardless of what might happen. In order to have the right attitude in prayer, we must be constant. How is your prayer life? And how is your attitude when you pray? Do we pray in faith? Do we pray with thanksgiving? Are our prayers constant? Maybe we each need help in the area of prayer. And my prayer tonight is that God would help us. In fact, let's go to God in prayer right now. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come before your holy throne, acknowledging that we have weaknesses, sins within our life that we struggle with, and difficulties from day to day. And we know, Father, that this old sinful earth beats us down at every opportunity that it can and tries to take away our faith and trust in you. Father, we pray that we would be a people of prayer. We ask, Father, that when life gets tough, that we would get down on our knees and pray to you. We ask, Father, that you would help us to be more involved in prayer each and every day. We pray, Father, that when we pray, that we would really trust in you, that you will provide for us. We pray, Father, that we would remember to be thankful in everything that we have in this life. And we pray, Father, that we wouldn't give up and that we would continue to be constant in prayer as we seek to do your will. Father, we praise you and we thank you for the great blessing that we have to come before your throne through your Son, Jesus the Christ, and present our petitions to you. What a wonderful blessing it is to be in Christ Jesus. And Father, we ask that you forgive us of all of our shortcomings, especially in regard to prayer, and help us to redouble our efforts as we pray to you and trust in you, and believe in you, and give ourselves to you so that we can be the strong, faithful people that you want us to be, seeking and saving the lost and enduring the cruel reproaches that the world sends our way, so that we can be shining examples of your Son, Jesus Christ, within our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is there someone here tonight who needs to begin their life of prayer by seeking God's face through His Son Jesus this evening? Jesus said, if you desire to come to the Father, you must come to Me, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through Me, John 14 and verse 6. And Jesus has given us His plan whereby we can be saved and thus have access to the Father through Him. We get into Christ Jesus by hearing His Word and believing it, repenting of our sins, confessing Him as Lord, and being baptized for the remission of sins. And when we're baptized, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says, we put on Christ. And that means we're in Christ. And being in Christ, we are then able to offer our petitions to God because God hears us through our mediator, Jesus the Christ. And so if you need to become a Christian, a child of God tonight, through doing what Jesus says, we would be happy to help you in that regard. And then afterward, we're going to pray together and we're going to offer petitions to God for you to be faithful for the rest of your life so that one day when this life is over, we can be eternally with Him. And so if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this evening, you can make your request known while we stand and while we sing.